I'd like to talk a little bit today about validation from a different perspective. Two perspectives. One, the danger of validation, and two, a different kind of validation, and more than the usual that we talk about, you know, love and respect and this, and helping the person find something to be successful about, and all these things which are very important. In terms of the validation itself, there's a very big danger, and it's very difficult sometimes to navigate that danger. And that is, you want always to make a person feel good about himself. You know, that's what validation is. I feel good about myself, and then I feel good. I'm happy. That's really what happiness is. On the other hand, we are not allowed, nor do we want to, make a person feel good about the bad things that he does. And validation is a fine line to walk between you're a good person and you should feel good about yourself, and I respect so many qualities in you. At the same time, I don't want to give you any sense or give off any sense or create any sense or you know, in any way insinuate that the stupid and evil and terrible and bad and wrong and whatever other words you can find for them, things that you do, that these things are good. Well, they're appropriate. Very nice. You're just wonderful. So it's something we have to be very, very careful about. Just like they say when they talk about teichocha, you should reprimand the act, but not the person. In other words, this is wrong, not you are no good. So we have to be very, very careful also when we say you are good, not to be saying the wrong thing that you do is good. It's a fine line. There's a delicate point in dealing with the wrong things, because one of the most powerful vehicles of hashpah is communication, trust and communication. We talk, we're open. I trust you, you trust me. We can communicate. Overreaction to negative behavior, or overly negative reaction to negative behavior, will interfere with the lines of communication. Because if that's the way you react when I tell you that I didn't have kavona in every word during mincha, imagine how you're going to react if I tell you that I didn't have mincha or something like that. Like, I can't. Like, it's. So mitzadech, we have to be very careful not to overreact on the negative, because then nobody will want to talk to us. On the other hand, we have to be careful not to underreact or in any way validate the negative, because then, first of all, we're not allowed to do that. It's begeder chanifa. It could be worse than that, because it could be stating that this inappropriate behavior is appropriate behavior, and that might be, I'm afraid to say what that might be, in terms of falsifying the Torah, falsifying the halacha. So it's a very delicate balance. And
does
the emphasis.
Do you think that it's proper behavior?
What?
Meaning, it seems like if somebody's doing something that's clear, you're talking about something that's not clearly wrong.
No, whatever it is, clearly or not clearly.
Just because that doesn't mean you're necessarily validating the behavior.
Well, I didn't say it means necessarily, but you have to be careful not to validate. In other words, you're still a wonderful person. Hashem still loves you. I still love you. I respect all your wonderful qualities. But this particular thing that you did is inappropriate. Now, how to say that, I don't know. That's another discussion.
Wait one second.
But one thing is for sure, you have to be careful that you're not saying, I respect everything you do, including that rishis that you did, including that stupidity that you did. Because that is a validation of something which is wrong, and you're not allowed to do that, and it's counterproductive to do that, and it's I don't know, it's a whole slew of things not to do that.
The person is aware that what he did was vicious.
I don't know what the person is aware of. It doesn't matter. I can't validate it, whether he's aware of it or not. I cannot. A person, we have to be honest, we have to be straight, and we have to be balanced in our appreciation of what's right and what's wrong. And I'm not allowed to corrupt, not in my own mind, which is also a danger, but I'm not even talking about that, but not in the give it off to the person now. Oh, that's fine. Don't worry about it. Yeah, well, Shabbos, nah, don't worry. You know, Shabbos Ahin, Shabbos Aher, that's not such a terrible thing. You know what I mean? Like, you have to be very, very careful with that. Okay, that's just one piece.
So if you, like, illustrate it to a person, let's say he has a very guilty conscience and he takes it very hard that he speaks Lashon Hara, and you try to tell him that, like, you know, that's really a struggle on a global scale. Like, you're not crazy, or
yeah, that's not validating it. Then it's a struggle.
Like,
it's not validating. That's the truth.
A little lighter in his eyes.
No. It's just making it. No, see, that's again a balance, because on the one hand, you're right. You might be making it a little bit lighter. On the other hand, there are certain things. If they're too heavy in his eyes, it will break him. It will destroy him. He will be miyayish. He will give up. So by trying to balance it that way, you're not justifying it. You're only explaining to the person that, hey, don't commit suicide over this, because this is a problem that everybody has, and we all have to work on it. You know, that's.
But does it also depend on, you got to try to figure out in the person that you're talking with how they'll take what you say?
Yeah, of course. That's always true. But Lamaise, it's something to be very concerned about, that we have to be concerned. Now, that having been said, I'd like to discuss something else, because I think this could be very relevant to it, and that is there are areas where we can find in people where we can truly validate their essence, and we don't even have to go into all the things that they may or may not doing wrong. Now, this is not always true, because part of this essence has to do with right and wrong too. Let me explain. I like this. Somebody once translated some maimer that one of the Bali Musa said, and he entitled it, I remember, Midos, the measure of the man. Midos is a measurement. Midos is also a trait of character, because traits of character are not absolute. They have to be measured. Ikas sometimes is appropriate, sometimes it's not appropriate. Atzlus is also sometimes appropriate. When I'm too lazy to leave the Beis Medrash, that not when I'm too lazy to come. There are midos, are balances. So, but basically, midos is the measure of the man. A person is truly evaluated, and truly his essence is his midos. Now, if we can find good midos in a person, that can be a leverage to validate a person, to give a person a good feeling about himself, to be addressing what is really the lotion that they quote from the Goyin. It's not really a quote, it's a little bit of a paraphrase, but they say, the Goyin said, if not for tikkun hamidos, lo melichayim. The lo nitno hamitzvos chazal se'el litzarif b'nes habriyos, to refine and to remove the impurities from character, human character. So here we can find validation in the most, maybe the most important of issues. Now, it doesn't mean everybody has such wonderful midos in everybody, but everybody has some good midos. And that can be leveraged as a real basis for validation, for complimenting, for making a person feeling good about himself. It strengthens him in something real, in something very, very important. And it doesn't necessarily have to in any way justify or validate the fact that you did this terrible avera. And the truth of the matter is that this creates a real opportunity to reach a person. Because, number one, let's say I validate your basketball playing skills. All right? Wow, what a basketball player. That's very nice. But you know something? Anyone who hung around a yeshiva for a couple of years, even if he never did any learning, knows that the most important part of life and of what we're doing here is this, these books, not those hooks or hoops or whatever you call them, you know. So Mimela, even if you validate me, you haven't really made me feel so good about myself, because the thing that you chose to validate me in is really so minimal. You validate, oh, you have such beautiful socks. Okay, you know, Manoya Shinov, like the Gemara says, you know, beautiful teeth. but like, it's not all about teeth, you know. I'm not a carnivorous behemoth that I, is that what it's called? Carnivorous? Yeah. I'm not a carnivorous behemoth that I need such sharpened teeth in order to do my calling in life. So, Memela, but when it's in Midas, that's it. That's the most important thing in the world. Mahu rachu mafato rachu. This is it. This is the tachlis. B'chol drochecho do'ehu. To become an emulator.
Is that the answer, or is that you,
what?
Are you talking about someone who has that outlook, or anyone?
Well, no. A person who has a good midos, you could do both. You could validate his midos and teach him how important they are. And you're not reflecting at all on the fact that he acts like a shagitz in certain other areas.
The validation of the midos effect if he doesn't have that outlook?
What?
Will automatically know that that's internal?
To a certain extent, yes, because people, even in the secular world, they know character. Character is an important thing. Not being a character, but, you know, character. Person, he's a man of character. If you had to write a letter of recommendation for someone in the Goyish Welt, and you're right, he's a person of character, so it says something, you know. Because everybody knows integrity is a very beautiful mida. Everybody knows that kindness is a beautiful mida. Everybody knows, especially if you go on, you're writing a letter reference for a guy to become a social worker or something. Empathy, the ability to empathize, is a beautiful mida. The Welt understands, but you can take it beyond that. Beyond the Welt's understanding, you can take it further and say, this is the tachlis of life. Im lav tigan amida shlom alichayim. This is what it's all about. And now, so you have, this is such an ultimate good, and here you are, you shagitz, Rosh Marusha that you are, forgive me, but you have such beautiful midas. And by the way, that phenomenon does exist, because the truth of the matter is, most people today are not Roshoim. Most people today are misguided, victims of overwhelming temptation, frustration, depression, all kinds of things. Now, that doesn't mean that they're right, they're wrong, we don't want to validate them at all. But on the other hand, they may very well and very likely, and they're B'nai Avram, Yitzchak, V'Yaakov, Avram, Yitzchak, V'Yaakov, I forget what it says, Marachmonim, Baishonim, Goyim Lechasodim. You know, hopefully they have a lot of these midas. So what that does is, I don't have to get involved. In other words, if I call a guy who's not so religiously observant and say, oh, you're such a pious Jew, oh, you're a tzaddik, it's wrong, it's chanifa, it's sheker, and it's bad. It's worse than that. But on the other hand, I get a person, oh, midas, you know, let me just finish. One of the scripts that can be very useful in these things, that a person confides in you and tells you, you know, about some things that he may be doing that are very, you know, grossly inappropriate, and your reaction is, you know, something. I got to tell you, I respect your honesty. I respect the way, you know, your candidness. I respect the fact that, you know, here you're telling it to me, a person who is in the position of your teacher or your Rebbe or your mentor or your something or your parent. And I really respect the fact that despite the fact that you're doing something or did something that was so inappropriate, but I respect the fact that you're open about it, that you admit to it, that you, and it looks to me, by the fact that you do say that you really want to get beyond it and get help. Now here, what you had an opportunity to make a person in a very bad situation feel better about himself, first of all, you reinforced candidness that in the future he'll probably be more ready or likely to confide in you in other things. You've made him feel a little bit good about himself, and therefore you have you've ingratiated yourself. You have become a person of influence in his life because you made him feel good about himself, and yet you haven't in any way touched upon validating inappropriate behavior. To the contrary, you very subtly and in a way that's validating him in a positive way, in a the backhanded part of that was that I'm letting you know that, you know, that's a pretty terrible thing you did. How am I letting you know it's such a terrible thing you did? Because I'm so admiring your ability to admit it. Now, why are you so admiring my ability to admit it? All I said is that I stepped on an ant on the floor. Okay. But the fact that I say I admire your ability to be so candid means I'm insinuating in a way that is very complimentary to you, not falsely, because your integrity is your integrity, your honesty, your candidness is true. But in the meantime, I'm sending the message that, hey, this is a message that's sent in indirect language is the most effective message. Because anytime we try to give head-on collision to Chocho, the end result is resistance, you know, was a head-on collision. But rather when the toichocho is backhanded and the person has to catch it himself, the person has to discover it himself, he has to figure it out himself, and in a sense, you're not reprimanding me. You said something, and I took it, ran with it, and reprimanded myself. Well, that's much more comfortable. I don't have to feel so much resistance to that. So it has a lot of benefits, and therefore, I think that in the classroom or in the home, that we have to create a bottom line environment that midas is king. Midas is the most important thing. Honesty, integrity, the most important thing. It seems to me that if a parent wants to set minimal rules, minimal expectations, because too many expectations usually means that we're not going to pay attention to the expectation list. If the list is too long, and I think too long, I don't know, I would say between 3 and 5 things in today's world may be just about right, not beyond that. But anyway, one of the things that really could go a long way is that in this family, we don't lie. We don't lie. We always tell the truth. Truth is the... we don't lie, and I would add to it, maybe we don't cheat. We don't cheat on tests. We don't cheat in... We don't a lie or cheat. Honesty. Honesty is the supreme value in this classroom. Honesty is the supreme value in this home. It goes a long way, because the truth is that honesty is the... is the opener, is the most effective tool to take a person away from most, if not all, of his chesroinus, all of his shortcomings. Because at some point, a person has to be honest and say, hey, is this right or is it wrong? Well, I'm an honest person. Enough, I can't, when honesty means so much to me, it limits my ability to rationalize that bad is good. If honesty doesn't mean anything to me, so okay, you say this is bad, I say it's good. Who are you fooling? You're a liar. You know that's not true. Ask 99.9% of the people in the world, they'll tell you that that's not true. And if you're a person of truth, you know, I want to tell you a little story. I don't want to tell you too much, but I once knew someone.
Question?
What's that?
Question first?
What? Oh, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Back from before with the validation. By them coming to you by the fact that they're open, they're talking, isn't that also showing that they're ready and they want your help with this?
Yeah, I mentioned that. Yeah, so that's part of what you're validating. You say, hey, You know, it looks like you, yes, you made a mistake. You did something that you shouldn't have done. That may be very serious, but, you know, you're willing to admit it, and you're obviously seeking help. 100%, I agree.
How are you supposed to give tochocha again? How did Rebbe say to give tochocha?
This is not really, that's different. The tochocha is a very delicate thing. If you want, we should make a whole session about that. I'm not sure I could do justice to it, because... But today it's yitochen that no one's even capable of giving teichocha. It's a shaila in the poiskim whether we're really capable of teichocha today. So I don't know. But certainly one thing is for sure: if you are talking to a person, you're not putting the person down. You're only addressing the mistake, right? In other words, if you did something wrong, you're not a bad person. What you did was bad. What you did was wrong. So that's very important, but then let's leave that for another discussion. I just want to share with you something which I think in the context of this discussion is very significant. There's an individual today, Talmud Chochem, a choshev person, really, you know, whatever, Marbitz Torah, very choshev. Many years ago, He wasn't so choshev. He wasn't so observant. In fact, I would say about this person that it was completely unobservant, coming from a distinguished rabbinic home, but never rebelled against Yiddishkeit. How do you like that? Completely unobservant, coming from a distinguished religious home, and never rebelled against Yiddishkeit. Let's see who could figure out the riddle.
Just very passive.
What?
Very passive?
Not bad.
Oh, he never saw Yiddishkeit.
What?
He never really saw Yiddishkeit. He was rebelling against what he was shown.
A distinguished rabbinic home, he never saw Yiddishkeit. Wow, that's worse than I would say. Okay, so...
He never denied its truth.
What's that?
He never denied its truth. He never denied its truth.
But he didn't observe. Okay, so listen, now, you know, this wasn't a fair riddle. This wasn't... There are many good answers. There are many good answers. I think you gave good answers. But I'd like to tell you what I think the real answer was. The real answer was, it was ad kedei kach that Yiddishkeit was irrelevant. He never rebelled. It didn't exist. Ad kedei kach, it didn't exist in his world. There was nothing negative, because there was nothing positive, because there was nothing. Just imagine that. I never saw... What? Yeah. But in his life, in his mind, nothing. It was irrelevant. The whole thing was irrelevant. Nothing. I have nothing against it, nothing for it. As far as I'm concerned, it's not even here. I don't know where it is. I'm oblivious to it. Okay. Anyway, that was my answer to the riddle. Okay, I didn't win the prize. Okay, fine. But wait, let me finish. But I believe, yeah, listen to this. I believe that this person is what he is today because of one midah that he had that was paramount in his character, in his life. What's that? No. Apathy will lead you down. Yeah? No. Apathy rarely leads a person up. So I would say, and what I believe is very simple. Very simple. Who was the one who couldn't tell a lie? There's some
George
famous
Washington.
Character. What? George Washington?
Yeah. Marvelous machines.
What? No, I don't know about that. Anyway, so he couldn't tell a lie. Just as Yiddishkeit didn't exist in his worldview, so too the ability, the possibility of saying something false didn't exist in his world. Just couldn't. There was no such thing. It couldn't. It's like who said it? Reb Meir Simcha said that until he was 80 years old, he couldn't be masig what it means to forget. He had such a memory, he says, he didn't. When somebody said they forgot, it's not the pshat, how could you forget? He didn't know what it meant. What does the word mean, forget? How do you forget? That's what he said. He couldn't be masik what it means to forget. This guy couldn't be masik what it means to lie. That's all. He couldn't, it couldn't relate to such a concept. And I believe I really do, that this made all the difference in his life. Because this midah was so overwhelmingly pervasive in everything in life that, you know, he starts to think, right and wrong, what, you can't fool yourself. Permissible and not permissible. I can't fool myself. Torah mi Sinai. Well, this truth. Once a person connects with his essence of truth, or with the true essence of the truth within him, then everything else falls into place. What? I don't know. But all I know is that this one midah. Now, so what I mean to say though is as follows: we shouldn't underestimate the power of a good midah, especially a midah like this, like integrity and truth, to change a person's worldview. I believe, and we don't have time for this.
But no good midahs.
What?
What do you do with them?
There's no such person. If he's Jewish, he's Rachmonim by Shonim Goyim Lechasodim. And by the way, if you don't see Rachmonis in him, you know why?
Buried it.
No, well, I wouldn't say bury it. I would say something else. I would say we don't let ourselves feel Rachmonis. When someone wants to tell us a pathetic story, we sort of tune out. That's how I explain why the same story in life you'll be able to take without crying, and you watch the same story in the movies and you'll be bawling away, even though it's fiction. These people were paid millions of dollars to act and to produce it, but there's music, but there's pictures, but there's focus, but there's, oh, all of a sudden it touches. So I believe we're all Rachmonim. We just don't let ourselves look at the situation which evokes Rachmonis. Rachmonim Baishonim, well, that's something else. We live in a society where there's no busha. But I think if we would look in the mirror, but not just look in the mirror, but stare in the mirror, but not just stare in the mirror, but take a deep breath and a deep look as to what's really going on, the way we're really presenting, we would see more than we see now. And the same thing with Goyim Lechasodim. We don't let ourselves see the need. And Mimelis, I think the midas are there, and we look for them, we validate them, and we can mamish do wonders.